Welcome to Starfleet Universe On Call. I am Paul Franz, owner of Franz Games. I run SAB Online, FedCom Online, and Starfleet Warlord. Just a reminder how to join us. We have talk guests every Thursday night starting 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can either join us on the phone, just dial 605-562-0444. Just follow the directions. The call ID is 17702. Or you can participate on the web. Just go to the Talks website at www.talkshoe.com and search for call ID 17702. I would recommend using Chrome if you have it available, because that seems to be what they optimized the website for, unfortunately. If you need to contact me for any reason, my email address is sfuoncall@gmail.com. That's sfuoncall at gmail.com. Also, if you want to reach me via Skype, my Skype ID is FranzGames, FranzGMES. And of course, you can follow me on the Twitters. My account for the podcast is sfuoncall. That's sfuoncall. Also, my personal account is Paul Franz. In case you want to follow me, I warn you, I like a lot of things which are Catholic and religious in nature. Just a heads up on that. Also, so you can find me there, just go to twitter.com/PaulFranz. That's PaulFranz. And of course, I have a tertiary account called Franz Games. It's FranzGMES, where I announce news and client updates. And of course, I retweet the announcement of this podcast. And of course, this lovely talk cast gets turned to a podcast available on iTunes and various other feeds around the net. Some quick news for me to be this week that released this past week was a new Hailing Frequencies. Also, the release of Communique number 152 with the Gorn Battle Frigate. Also, new on Warehouse 23 Drive-Thru RPG and Wargame Vault this week was Nexus number 8. Steve Cole was, of course, busy working on Caps Log number 53, you know, the various blogs, and, of course, the art for the Gorn Master Starship book and various things for Shapeways. Steve Patrick, of course, was working on SAB updates, also working on the Gorn Master Starship book. Jean, the busy bee she is, was busy managing Facebook, also uploading ships to Shapeways and fighting with it. You know, there were some good days and some bad days, I noticed. If you follow her on Facebook, you'll see some of her issues that she has. Also, she has been busy doing some marketing, and of course, working her parts of the various newsletters, and of course, proofreading Communique number 152 before it was released. Because Lord knows, I forget if she has a red pen or a purple pen. I think it's the purple pen of death. Moving on to the SAB Online tournaments. But Masters tournament now has, it's basically been stuck, which is five games have been played in round one and yet to be played. And also there's one game that actually has been played on round two. Rat 48, run by Ron Brynmeyer. We actually have two games done, and actually there was some progress in my game, and I will talk about that more during the normal part of the podcast. And of course, there's only one game to complete, and then round one will be completely completed, which will all say hooray. When it comes to library progress, I am sorry to tell you, but again, a week of non-progress, which is, in my mind, not good. Completed conversions still stay at 2,426, with yet to be converted 906, and percent complete, of course, means it sticks at 72.8%. So with that is the news for this week. And it's me, it's the one, the only Paul Franz, welcoming you to Starfleet Universe On Call. And tonight, it's me. We got Bear, we got MG. I'm sorry, MG. Lawson, Michael Lawson. Or, sorry, not Michael's, Matt. This is not a good way to start things out, but they will keep on going just the same. So, With that, actually, why don't we start this evening with the one, the only, the Barry. Whoops. There. There it is. Okay.
Hey, I'm here.
Now you're there. Okay. Sorry. Took me a moment to unmute you, but you're here for a change.
Yeah. So, I don't know how long I'll be able to stay here, but okay.
Understood. Understood.
Yeah.
Well, it's good. I know we talked a few nights. Actually, it was last night. Yeah, it was not last night because last night's when I was bowling.
Right. So it must have been last night.
Yes, exactly. Boy.
Yeah. I haven't eaten since.
Okay. Let's let that go.
I haven't eaten since, and I'm...
But anyhow, so I assume things are going good?
I guess. I guess.
Well, it's good to have.
Yeah, how about you?
Oh, going good, going
well,
good.
Let's put it this way. I'm tomorrow morning I have my colonoscopy, so I'm in the middle of the prep right now.
Ah! Been there, done that.
I haven't eaten.
Fun.
Yeah. The prep's the hard part.
Yeah. Agreed. Been there, done that. I hope not to have, hope I will avoid that for quite a few years to come.
Yeah.
Because everything was good. I had some polyps, but they just snipped them out, and I'm all good. There was nothing cancerous, anything like that. So I was good.
That's good. That's very, very good.
Yeah, that was actually that was last year. Yeah, that was before I actually moved. Yeah, so it was like early last year. So it's been over a year.
So I think you're good for. I think these days they say every 10 years.
Good. I prefer not to go through that again. Actually, it was not bad.
I don't know of anybody who enjoyed the process.
Well, they knocked me out, you know, for the procedure. So it's like, it's done.
Yeah.
You know, over, I wake up. Oh, how you doing? You know, and I'm actually old enough. I don't really give that much about. It's like, okay. So see my bare butt. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, long ago and far
Whatever.
Away. Yeah, you know, it's like, yeah, it's I'm old enough. It's like, okay, who cares? But anywho, actually, one thing I plan on talking about actually is tournament tactics, because that's one thing that I was doing on Tuesday night. I was having a wonderful time with Paul Graves. His Hydran versus my Romulan. KR, which is a new and different,
okay.
new and different ship, which actually is kind of
for you.
Well, for me, yeah, I've rarely ever fly a plasma.
Right. The Rams have that cloak, which very often with a KR you don't even use it, or you might use it, but
agreed. Oh. I will talk about Tuesday night just in a little more about what actually happened, but normally if I play plasma, I normally play the King Eagle, just because I like the King Eagle.
I like that ship. Oh, it's fun. I like the King Eagle too.
Agreed. And other than that, the second most plasma ship I've played. Second most often was actually the Firehawk. I've played that twice.
Well, of the ROMs, the Firehawk is the most powerful.
Yeah, it's. But the one thing I definitely like about the KR is the plasma arcs.
Yes.
Because everything is LPRP.
Right. So. Yeah, you, as long as you've got a plasma charging, you can always. Chuck one at him.
Oh yeah. And as which gets me to Tuesday night's game, the one thing that happened is I launched two plasmas at him. It was like range 4. And he goes, yikes! And he wild weasels them off. But okay. Originally, when I launched the F, he said, oh, is that a fast load F? I went, no. And then he realized, oh, it's because you have the LP arcs. This is not right side, left side. This is actually LPRP. So I can get you. And he said, ooh, nice arcs.
Yeah. Oh, so he wasn't paying attention.
Exactly. Though, he wild weasel away. So now that's one shuttle dead.
Right.
I got one fighter, which has one. When he took it in, it was 1 point of damage away from being dead. Unfortunately, he did the special landing procedure. Did it range 1, brought it in, and boom, landed it. The same impulse, which sucked. So I was like, okay. The thing is, I've got actually yes.
It's still a long time to repair something like that.
Oh, I agree. That thing is out of it. One thing actually I have to mention to Paul Graves is that he needs to announce that special landing procedure.
Oh.
He just said he was tractoring it. You're supposed to actually announce you're using special landing procedure on the shuttles to use it. So you're not just tractoring it. You're going to land it.
Yeah.
So that's one thing. I let it go. I wasn't. Yes, it's a rated ace tournament. But again, that'd be just being picky, I think, at that point. So
yeah,
why it's like, yeah, I'll let it go.
It sounds like it was pretty obvious what he was doing.
Yeah, he did also the same thing for his other one, too, which wasn't completely obvious when he did it, when he tractored it. But, I can understand why he would do it, because he was afraid that one of the plasmas was launched directly at the fighter.
Okay, yeah. Well, plasmas are real, real good at killing fighters.
Yes, they are. I hope you use the client correctly, because people forget that. Sometimes they forget that when you actually land a shuttle or a fighter, you have to land the shuttle or the fighter. In the client, you need to tell it that you're landing that shuttle, or you're landing that fighter. And that just removes it from play, because then it doesn't because if you land it, it automatically reloads it into that ship, because it says, "Oh, okay."
And records the damage and all that.
Well, you record the damage yourself. But the client lets you keep track of that, and that's part of what. I added that because you need to track it, including for drones and plasma. You have the ability to track the damage for that, which is kind of important, because that's what happened with we actually stopped and then we had to restart this week. And it's like, okay, how much damage? That's one thing. The first thing I did when we brought it up was like, how much damage was done to these things? Like my FE had already fired like 29 points of damage against it.
Is that battle over or is
nope.
it to be continued?
To be continued tomorrow night.
Ah.
Yep. He's available Friday, and I'm available Friday. We're going to start at 9 o'clock. Hopefully, I can stay up a little later than Tuesday. Actually, no, I don't think that's the issue. Because according to Paul, he can play for a couple hours. His wife will let him play for a couple hours.
Understood.
Yeah, I'm always fighting for his time, it seems like.
Yeah. I probably have to get off the phone now.
Okay.
It's been nice, so maybe next week.
Okay. Talk to you later.
Okay.
Okay.
See ya. Bye.
Unfortunately, I didn't get get to talk about the battle a little bit. And the reason why I wanted to bring up the topic of tournament tactics at all. I wish Batty could have stayed around. We could have discussed it. Because I love talking about it. Tournament tactics. And I know it's always an interesting topic for people to discuss. And one thing that happened was, I got really, really fortunate. And that is that Paul Graves fired two Hellbores at me. He missed one at range 4. So I took what sucked was that I took 5 points of damage. That took out one Phaser 3, one Plasma F, an Oxcon, and I forgot what the other two were. I think like some Hull. But I'm sorry, out of five, he takes two weapons out of 5 points of damage. In theory, I had enough battery so I could have stopped it. But it's one of those things that I figured I'll take the chance. Well, that chance might have really hurt me in the long run. Because I got some damage on his ship because I fired. Because one thing he did was use the Wild Weasel, then brought up his active fire control after the Wild Weasel got hit by the plasma. And then after that, then what I did was then he changed the mid-turn speed change to speed 9, which automatically did an empanada. Boom, it avoided the Wild Weasel, which meant that I could fire on him immediately. But he had to wait until his fire control was actually fully active. Yeah, agreed. Dave saying, how many times had your opponent rolled 11 on the first roll? Not that many times. Unfortunately, this is one of those times it did. But anyhow, when he dropped my one shield. I dropped almost half his front shield, which to me is a good thing because I didn't want to get any closer to him, to be honest, because my biggest fear was that those fusion beams were going, he was going to fire the fusion beams and I was going to be toast. So the weird thing for me was that he started the turn at speed 0. I started the turn at 21. The whole idea was that I was going to run away. And I was going to try and increase the range. Well, I definitely have increased the range by the end of the turn. Because of, he only moved up to speed 9. But of course, the problem is I moved down to speed 13. So I got a little more range on him. But the good thing about that was that he, what's going to be interesting is, next turn, I've got a plasma. I got to check. I have to double check on the game. Because I know definitely I'll have a plasma S ready because it will be my third turn. I don't know if I got the other plasma F ready or not. Actually, no, I don't have it ready because I just used it the turn before. Because I launched a pseudo and a real Plasma F at him. He knocked down the Plasma F and he says this. I don't believe him. Paul Graves said, oh, I figured that the S was real and he didn't fire on it. It's like, no, he didn't. I'm sorry, if you're firing at the F and you think the S is real, why are you not firing at the S? You know, really? really? You know, I understand you fire at the F because you don't know if it's real or not. You know, the F you know is real. The S you don't know. The only time you don't know if the F is real is if you're playing the King Eagle. Yay! That's one of those things that the King Eagle you have is that you actually have pseudo plasma Fs, which is kind of cool in my mind. But so you know, without you know, we ended the game around 20 of 11. You know, it was getting late. I was tired on Tuesday, and it's like, okay, I need to get up and like way too early for Wednesday. So I said, you know, I gotta get up. I think it's like 6.5 hours. And so I have to get my butt to bed. And so I didn't want to start a new turn with like 20. We could do the EA, and then we stuck there. Because I know the EA would taking us at least 10 minutes to get through. So I was like, what's the point of even doing EA? You know, let's give us you know, a little more time so we can think about it a little more, and then we can get it done. So now that's interesting. Because to me, the hydrant is a tough one to fight. Because the big issue with the hydrant is, of course, the hellbores. Everyone hates the hellbores. Why? Because they don't need if your down shield is an away shield, you know, they can still do damage to you. So that's obviously, it's not a big surprise. One of the things I will definitely be doing in the upcoming turn is I will be repairing that down shield so that I can then reinforce it. Now, unfortunately, he didn't do what I expected him to do. What I expected him to do was on impulse one, I expected him to hit my front shield. He didn't do that. So he didn't hit my reinforcement. So I was hoping to balance things off, but I couldn't balance them enough so that I could actually keep my shields up. So tactic number one, do your best to balance your shields when it comes to flying against a ship with a hellbore. And I say a ship with a hellbore because that could be a hydrant, or it could be an actual Orion, or it actually could be a Wynn, because the wax, you know, Wynn auxiliary battle cruiser, that can have the same thing. So that's one lesson I learned. I'm hoping I can beat the hydrant. The one thing I must admit that I definitely like about having plasma is that I have a weapon which will cause my opponent to, let's say, fight it while I'm running away. You know, that's one of those things that I truly like about having seeking weapons. Now, obviously, the great thing about plasma is there's two really good things about plasma. Number one, you never run out of plasma. Number two, they are heavy hitters. Now, obviously, there's the problem with plasma. The problem with plasma is they require energy, and energy is something you don't always have that much of. That's number one. And, of course, number two is that they're short range. Even the plasma S's have a maximum range of, like, 20 hexes. You know, after that, they get, you know, to the point where it's not really that useful. But of course, the great thing about them being so much damage early on, you know, so powerful, is that if it requires a response from your opponent. Unlike drones, where you can just go ding, 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 you can knock them down, and then you can fly right through them. You know, obviously, the great thing about drones is that, okay, you got no, they're no energy. And so you can toss them out, and it doesn't cost you any energy, and you can just keep flying around, you can keep your speed up. But also, they can be easily knocked down because they take like four or six points of damage in tournaments. So a phaser one will automatically kill your drone. So in theory, he could fly right through your drones and get to you. While plasma, not so much. Because the whole two-for-one thing requires a lot more phaser fire. And therefore, if you want to fly through a plasma, it will hit you and it will hurt you. But so, so far I'm liking the KR. Obviously, as I mentioned before, my biggest concern right now is I do not want to get close to those fusions at all. Now I really don't expect him. I'd have to look up the rules, and I will definitely have to look it up before tomorrow, which is when it comes to repair. For a how much a crew action? I think there's one crew action per 16 impulses, and therefore I think you can do 1 point of repair per crew action. That's one of those things I have to look up. But I feel like that is truly the case. In which case, it'll take him a few turns to fix the fighter enough so it actually can fly around and actually have a fusion beam. Or have something, it has to be uncrippled so that it doesn't, it actually has a phaser G or a fusion beam. And of course, then you have to have the crew actions to actually load the fusion beams. I have to double check the logs on whether the fusion beams from the fighters, if he had to use two charges or the one. I think it's two, because I don't think I ever got within range three. Right. I don't think I ever got range three of the fighters themselves, which means they have to use two charges. Because, from range 4 to 10, I'm pretty sure you had to use double charge to get to that range. But anyhow, so the key for me for fighting the Hydran is going to be keeping the Hydran at range. Now, the good part in my mind is that for this game, if I can get my butt turned around, which I'm pretty sure I can, get my butt turned around and have him and be able to launch a plasma at him, that makes him, he has to do one of two things. Either he's going to have to stop, which I doubt he'll do. Most probably he'll have to use his phasers to knock it down, which means I'm drawing more energy from him. Now, that means what I might want to do, the question is, what do I want him to do? Do I want him to use up his phasers? Because if I want him to use up his phasers, then I launch a standard plasma. Now, if I want him to stop and use up one of his not scatter packs, his wild weasels, then what I want to do is I want to make an enveloper. Because in that case, the phasers aren't going to do squat about when it comes to the damage that it's going to be caused to him. The only way to stop from getting damaged is he's going to stop and wild weasel. Now, the great thing about doing that is that it forces him to stop, which means I can get more range on him. So, that's one of the things, as a plasma player, one of the tactics you want to use is you want to have your opponent use up all of his wild weasels, or force him to either, use a wild weasel, which he doesn't want to use, or take the damage. So that's one thing I can do with an enveloped player is he has to make the choice. Do you want to use a wild weasel, or do you want to take damage? That's it. There's no way to avoid the taking damage part. Even with a Hydran, which has what? Two phaser Gs and five phaser ones. It's going to take damage. You know? So, have to wait on that decision. Obviously, I don't want to actually announce that here. I don't think Paul Graves actually is listening, or I'm not even, well, even if Paul Graves is not listening, it's possible that one of his friends, the friends of Paul Graves, is listening and then will tell him. So we'll just have to wait and see. I'm sure he's thinking about the same thing. You know, I said the great thing was that his hellbores, one of his hellbores missed. And right now we're coming up on the next turn. And this turn, he has no hellbores, but of course he does have his fusion beams. That's why I don't want to get ultra close to him, because of his fusion beams things still hurt. Because that's what he wants. He wants to overrun me, is what he wants to do. So we'll just have to wait and see on that. So basically, my plan of attack overall is going to be to wear him down, like any plasma player. It's going to be wear him down, try to get rid of all his plasmas, get rid of his fighters. After I get rid of his fighters and get rid of his wild weasels, I'm in much better shape. Because then he has nothing to stop me. You know, nothing to stop my plasmas. Now, of course, we have the whole issue that I lost one of my plasma torpedoes, which the torpedo tubes, I have to double check to see what's the repair cost for a plasma F. I think it's 5. I could be wrong. Obviously, Dave or Matt, if you know, that'd be fantastic. Mentioning Matt and Shapeways, actually, I was really thrilled when last week they announced the police cutter, the Federation police cutter, which I like, which was awesome. I was annoyed to see on Facebook that Gene was having issues with Shapeways again. I'm really concerned about Shapeways when it comes to that kind of thing, because of, well, I think Shapeways will continue on. Yeah, I think it is, because the actual issue, the pain point, the pain, is not for the people buying the ships. It's for the people who are trying to sell the ships, sell miniatures of any sort, you know, miniatures or other 3D printed items. You know, and that's fine for Shapeways, because of, it doesn't matter, because if there's a pain point for the people trying to sell them, it all depends on how much competition you have. If you have a lot of competition to do the same thing, then you got a real good motivation to fix your darn issue. Now, obviously, the one thing that Shapeway's goal should be is to produce a quality product at a low price. Meaning low price for them. Obviously, you have a markup that you have to mark up for the buyer, because the buyer Shapeway's has to make money, and of course, also the person selling the various objects has to make money too. Because if neither one of you make money, then why? Well, if the seller doesn't make money, why is he going to put it on Shapeways? If Shapeways doesn't make money, Shapeways is going to go out of business. You know, can you take a short term? I was going to say loss, but it's not really loss. Can you break even on products for a little bit? You know, to get some people in short term? Yes. Long term? No. Of course, because most businesses are not non-profits. The idea of a business is to have profit, to earn money, so then you can then maybe, if you're a business owner, to live off that money. Lord knows, Steve Cole knows this very well, which was interesting. This brings me a side point. But basically, Steve Cole was pointing out that if he lived anyplace else other than Amarillo, he could not run ADB. He couldn't do it just because of he doesn't earn that much money to live in a place like Dallas. Now, of course, I'm hearing the prices that he's quoting. I'm going, you know what? That's around the same prices that are around here in Pennsylvania. You know, I'm out in the middle. I was going to say Nowheresville, but that's not correct. I'm in Wernersville. That's not Nowheres. It's a little farther from civilization, you know, modern civilization. Yeah. There's a lot of farms around here. Now, the big concern around here is not the farms. Well, actually, it is the farms because of they're selling the land to then develop the land. So I'm just hoping that doesn't happen too much because of one of the wonderful things about Wernersville is that there's so much open space, you know, in which case that's why, in my mind, it's beautiful. The thing is, the more you build it up, the more, you know, less space you have, the less beauty in my mind. But, you know, as I mentioned to my neighbor, actually, about the whole idea of building it up, is that I'm torn. Because the great thing about building it up is that you get the tax dollars. The things that don't like is when you build it up is, of course, then it gets more crowded. That, you know, the beauty of the trees and the land and all that gets lost. You know, so. Anyhow, let's remove that sidetrack. Talking about third-party businesses. Let me see if I have it here. I should. No, I don't have it here. I must have deleted the email, which is about TalkShoe. And that is, when it comes to TalkShoe, which I'll bring up real quick, that is that I've actually expressed all my issues with them, and the person was very consolatory and definitely agreed that, you know, with my opinions, you know, that, you know, they messed up to a certain degree when it comes to the UI. Meaning that, as mentioned previously on this podcast, they changed the UI so that I can either look at the participants, which currently we have 3 in addition to myself, including guest 7. Hi, guest 7. Guest 7, I don't think TalkShoe stinks overall. They've improved it. I agree. I like some of the things that what they've done. But, you know, there are certain capabilities that they took away when they provided the new interface. For example, one of the great things about the previous interface, you know, was it nice looking? No. Did it work? Yes. Some of the things, it worked like a normal chat room where, well, at least in the IRC channel, where you could see people leave and come back and all that kind of thing. You could see that in a single log. And on the side, you could say, okay, who's actually there? But I always like doing is that I ignored pretty much participants. Doesn't matter to me. It was more of the chat. And so just looking at the chat room, I could actually see the history of people coming and going. In which case, like you guessed 7, when I'm not sure when you joined this talkcast, you know. Obviously, there's some other things that I mentioned, including, as I've actually mentioned previously, and that is that you guys can't hear me until I'll mention you in just a moment. And that is, you guys can't hear me until I actually start recording. why? I understand to a certain degree. I understand the thought on that, and that you want to be able to do some pre-show stuff, and you don't want to be able, people to hear that. Well, why can't I just mute it if I don't want people to hear it? You know, because I like to have, I like doing pre-show and post-show afterwards, after, you know, recording, and then, you know, I do like doing, talking with pre-show to you guys and to some of the audio guests that call in. Talk to them before we start recording, and then we click record, boom, we're recording. And then, of course, post-show, same thing. You know, after it's like, okay, done, the show's done, okay, now we got post-show, in which case I don't have to really have that recorded, because as I mentioned to them, it's like, okay, currently I've required to be recording both sides of the fence, which means I have to edit the recording no matter what. You don't want me to actually record locally, but at the same time, you're encouraging me locally to record locally, or at the very least, to download the podcast, modify it, and then upload it again. You know, you're saying one thing, but the thing is, the actions that you've taken require me to do what I have to do. Also, I mentioned the whole thing with Chrome, which they're just, that one they kind of blew off. It's like, everyone's on Chrome. It's like, no, not everyone's on Chrome. Not everyone likes Chrome. Not everyone likes Google watching what they're doing. You know? When it comes to Guest 7, you said that talk show isn't well enough and doesn't give SMB much exposure. Agreed, but Guest 7, my question to you then is, what platform would? Are you talking about, should we switch over to like Twitch? I agree. SFB is a fun system. Obviously, the big issue of BattleTech versus SFB, YouTube. Well, I have to see if actually I could do a YouTube live anyway. Because if I recall correctly, to do YouTube live, I need a certain number of followers. But I will write that down, and I will look into what it takes to do a YouTube live with chat there. You know. Now, obviously, the one problem with YouTube live is, again, it is a one-way conversation. Me talking to you. It's not like Google Hangouts, where you actually have a number of people log in and then everyone hears what everyone else is saying. So to do that would require me some doing what I was thinking about doing with moving to Discord back in the, you know, back on the BattleTech versus SFB. Yeah, Starfield Battles is a great system, and I love it. Tremendous amount. Obviously, the big thing with, I'm not sure why there's a resurgence in BattleTech. You probably are more attuned to that than me. Maybe it's because of the number of products being put out by them. Though, be honest, when it comes to the Klansmen, I'm not. That's pretty much where I dropped off. BattleTech was with the Klansmen. And I've heard good things and bad things about BattleTech from Gary Carney, because he loves BattleTech himself. And actually, I've got some the rules to BattleTech, which reminds me I have to reread that. Check out Dash of Elon. Okay. I will, guess seven. I will check that out. I'll check out Dash Up Elon. Or Elan? I don't want confused Elan versus Elon, like Elon Musk. And the smile. Don't mind me. Dun, dun, dun. Talk among yourselves. There. Okay. He has a mini wargaming page. Okay. I will take a look-see. And if I need to, I will see if I can contact him. You know, that's... if he has low followers, I assume that he would be happy to respond to any emails that I send him. I'm assuming that his email is public. So that I can contact him just to discuss podcasts and things like that and what's being done. Now, the only one thing that I, the tough part about video is that video requires higher bandwidth. That's one reason why I currently don't record video for TalkShoe, which they do allow you to have video, but I don't do video at the moment because that also requires me to get a video camera. I actually have one built into my laptop. It's just that my laptop is currently in clamshell mode. And clamshell mode means it's all sealed up and the video camera is not facing anything except for the bottom of my laptop. I know that I've talked about the possibility of doing a video version because of, I know there's, even though that... Overall, this is an audio program. There are definitely, I agree, there are some points where I would love to share my screen so then people can follow along. When it comes to Shapeways, that I would love to be able to do, I would love to do a video, one of that, where I'm actually sharing my screen. And I might, I might do that one time on TalkShoe, which would be interesting because of editing would be a pain. Because I'd have to start recording before the program began, and after the program ended, I have to download the video, modify it, and hopefully I could upload it. I'd have to look in to see if I could do that in TalkShoe. So, I can, but yeah, GSM, I will look into YouTube, okay, to see if there's anything that can be done there. Actually, I have to double check how many followers I currently have. Because I have a YouTube channel for SFB Online. I forget what the channel's called. At this point, it's been a while, actually. Let me just see if I can find it for a moment. There. Dun, dun, dun. Let me just... I have some notes about... Yeah, currently you have to do it. You have to go on the YouTube and look for SFU Online Client. I got like 2,400 views of one of my. There. Okay. And this is not the right one. There it is. Okay, and that. And I can't tell what my... I don't know if I have a channel or not. I'll take a look-see. Because I have one for the SFU Online client at the moment. I've got a channel for that. I got one which is Moving Federation Commander Pieces. There was only 429 views, and I uploaded that 7 years ago. I got one which is How to Fire Using Federation Commander Online. There's only 178 views, and that was 6 years ago. The most one I got the most views at the moment is over 2,400 views, which was posted 6 years ago. It's Introduction to SFU Online Client to Play Starfleet Battles. And then some more. Yeah, starting a Federation Commander game, which has 981 views 7 years ago, and of course, Gene Sexton giving a gib slap to Steve Cole, which only has 226 views. Yeah, I do not know what the name of the channel is. That's the thing, is that at the moment, the only way to know it, the only way to find it is do a search for SFU Online Client, and then you'll find it. I'd have to log into that Google account to find it. I normally don't stay logged into Google. So, let's see if I can find it, just for giggles. I got some time, so that just actually, no, just, let me just see if I can find it. For a moment, let me get my phone because I know I got protected using two factors that. Requires me to bring up my authentication app. And I'm just going to do that at the moment because I don't have time to fight it. Sign in. It's always the fun part, which is gotta love it, man. Google split up. Oh, you're logging your email address here, and then you have your password later on. It's like, oh, thank you very much. So you have to take twice as long to log in. Yeah, thank you. I should do it. And now the question is, okay, I'm trying to find it. I still haven't. Okay. Nice to have more exposure for us to be on a popular platform like. Okay. game replays at SMB will be a purpose. I'm not quite sure you would. Overall, you know, watching SMB can be quite... Yeah, agreed. That's the big problem with SMB is that to play SMB requires that you... to make it interesting, you have to keep it moving. Guess seven. If you know how in the world to figure out what the name of or how to name your channel, I don't know. At the moment, I cannot find squat. Look at live streaming just for giggles. Okay, make sure your account is in good standing and verify your identity with a phone number. Oh, thank you. And then after that, so in theory, I could do it using /firstandromedan/live. And then, you know, I'm eligible for live streams, looks like, I think. Okay, it says I'm eligible using my my one Gmail account. I got multiple Gmail accounts. Whatever. Dashboard. Okay. I'll let that go at the moment because true, chess can be quite boring if they're using all the time allotted to them. Yeah, the one thing when it comes to Starfleet battles, I think most SMB games take somewhere in the neighborhood of 3 to 10 hours to play. I'm assuming that people would, if we ever did recordings of it, because the biggest issue, obviously, is editing the video afterwards. Okay, Steam has a game called... Yeah, maybe. Steam says... Mike Matt says there's a Steam game called Tabletop Simulator, which you can use for any game. Someone has made an SFU version. Not really legal. No kidding. Cause if Steve Cole found out, he'd flip his nut. But with official 3D models and SSD sheets, playing and watching could be really cool. The biggest issue, obviously, with any tabletop games... And the way they do things is, of course, the whole issue that SMB Online solves, which is the whole secret decisions. That, okay, you have impulse activity. Okay. Which means he doesn't care. Okay, well... guess seven. I will check to see. I'll see if I can maybe record some games. I don't know. I'm not exactly sure what kind of gameplay you're expecting to see with it. I have to think about what actually I could record. What would be the look of the recording? Obviously, when it comes to a tournament game, you would want to see possibly. Both SSDs, but mostly the board, if you're playing the game, obviously you have to cut out the allocation part. Oh, yeah. Agreed, Dave, that it had to be any replay would have to be sped up a tremendous amount, because a lot of the in between when you fire, when you have your battle passes, and then you're moving around. Mainly, the idea in that case is after your battle pass. Normally, you're trying to vie for position. You might not be able to fire anything, but you're still setting up for the next time you do another battle pass. Possibly, in some cases, you're running away. Of course, Dave, kind of cut out the time that people sit there and say, and of course, then there's the breaks that people take. Saying, I'll be right back, and they come back like 10 minutes later. That part is not the hard part. The hard part, in my mind, would be to actually, what do you show? Do you not show the SSDs unless you show them like one time and then, okay, you wait for the next time they're actually damaged, in the case then you show them again? And it's something that either people are going to have to give me recordings of their games, or I'm going to have to record them myself. I can try to record a game or two and see how it goes. Oh, yeah. X-Wing. X-Wing tournament play videos. Dave, I will take a look-see at that to see if possibly. Look at that. So I will take a look-see at that. I will also look in to see if I can figure out how a way of actually naming a channel. Because at the moment, I have no clue. My guess is my channel is called First Andromedan. I don't know. I'm going to try, just for giggles. Why? Yep, that's me. You can find me, find my videos at youtube.com/firstandromedan. Capital F, capital A. I'm not sure if the casing matters. Now, can I change that? I don't know. So that's one thing I'll have to look into. And Dave, I'll look into X-Wing and tournament play videos. And as I said, the tough part is getting someone to actually record it. And one, I have to make sure I have the people recording it, one, have the drive space available to record a video. And then, of course, then there is the whole issue of what kind of information do you actually show people? Do you show people that SSDs every once in a while? Is it mainly just the board of watching the icon, not the icons, but the counters move on the board? As they move around on the board, just record. No, guest Evan Culbertine insists that if I do videos or anything like that, related to the podcast or related to, because really, if you think about it, at the core level, when it comes to SFU Online, that client and the community there, that's mine. Now, I license the material from Cole. Now, that he can say what gets posted, what does not get posted. What I can and cannot use. That he can say. Because that's the material I'm using. Now, when it comes to if I do video recordings of games, that's marketing material. He cannot define what marketing material I use for my business. As long as I don't violate licensing. I.e., I use, don't do something really stupid and try to use actual Star Trek IP know, the real, the like, oh, a picture of, of not Vulcan, but of Spock, or a picture of Leonard Nimoy. Sorry, same person. William Shatner. The, you know, images or things that are related directly to Star Trek and not directly created by ADB when it comes to those kind of things. For example, SFU On Call. The image that is used for SFU On Call for the podcast, that actually Steve Cole had to create, because he controls that IP. And since he created, if I can't get in trouble because of, I got it through him. As is, currently I can't post anything to the Apple App Store, Mac App Store, because of, I can't get past them. They say, "Oh, this is Paramount IP." Well, it is, but it isn't. And Steve Cole wants to talk to them about it and explain to them about how the licensing agreement works. But what Apple wants is they want the contract. And I don't have a contract with Paramount. Heck, I have an agreement with Steve Cole, which basically is from the previous owner of it was Symbiotic Games. Before that was on online game systems, OGS. Then Symbiotic Games was Patrick. And then I bought SFB Online from him, Franz Games. And so Franz Games currently owns SFB Online. And they basically, it's just an agreement that got passed down from the previous, you know, he said, as long as you pay me this, boom, we're fine. You know? So. But anyhow, I think we'll wrap it up at that point. We had a nice little discussion here. Right. Yeah. Agreed. I'm not sure about the monetization thing. Really? Because of I'm currently monetizing on SFB IP. It's called SFB Online, FedCom Online, Starfleet Warlord. Those are all using ADB IP. So, you know. Right. Well, when it comes to any videos, yeah, they'd be free advertising for the game. It'd be marketing material, basically, if you want to get down to it, down to the root. I don't really see, even if I click, monetize, I don't think I'm going to see a dime. Monetization, when it comes to YouTube videos, doesn't come up until you get into the thousands or tens of thousands or possibly hundreds of thousands of views. I'm not going to get that kind of views. I don't expect that kind of viewership. Heck, I'm lucky to have 2,400 for the one video that's been online for 6 years. So that's on average 400 views a year. That's averaging it out. Now I'm not sure exactly how the views, you know, shape when it comes to, you know, now versus then, you know. So, anyhow, guess Evan, thank you for joining us. Definitely gave us some ideas to think about, some things to think about, and I will definitely do that and see what kind of things for YouTube. One, obviously YouTube Live. Obviously, I think the thing that I think is better off actually is the whole idea of recording SFB Online. You know, people playing tournament games. And possibly, hopefully, having fleet games. Fleet games are always the more difficult part because of, one, I have to find out when they're happening. You know, I can probably figure it out. I've got some things, some scripts that I use to notify me of certain things that happen on the online server. at the moment, and hopefully I can maybe I can add to that to look out for certain, you know, rooms that are created and go with there and see if I can get some recording of some games. So I think with that we will close up for this evening. Thank you, guest seven. So we had a nice little discussion here talking about basically marketing and getting out the word of the gospel that has to be the Starfleet battles. That's funny. Yeah, understood. Ah, you too. Nice discussion about tournament tactics and playing them. Of course, I was going to say whining about TalkShoe, but I'm not really saying whining about TalkShoe. You know, they heard my complaints. They're going to be looking into fixing the issues in the future, and I think that's a good thing. Obviously, Guest 7 suggested maybe moving to YouTube Live. I could probably do YouTube Live. The only question would be call-ins and how to interact with people other than chat. You know, is there ways of doing that? Obviously, currently it's easy for like people like Barry, where Barry can just call in on his phone, and we're good. Obviously, I've talked about before when it comes to the possibility of moving to Discord, and that is having so people can dial into my personal Skype number. Skype in, you know, call into my Skype number, and then I can create a group call from that. So I might look into what if you can actually do much of a group call into Skype and how much control you have and so forth. But anyhow, onward and forward. And with that, I am Paul Franz, and I bid you a good night.